Welcome back to our lecture series on the object relations in theory. I will be speaking to you today about closet narcissism. Everyone is familiar with the grandiose narcissist, who is more exhibitionistic, demanding attention, demanding mirroring in order to support a false, grandiose image self. But not so many people are familiar with a complementary psychic structure that merges into the grandiose narcissist personality called the closet narcissist. The term closet narcissist was derived by James Masterson in his work in the 1970s and 1980s, where he first talked about closet narcissism. But the clinical experience of the closet narcissist goes further back. And in my writings, including a paper I gave recently on the plenary panel of the International Psychohistorical Association, I speak about also Annie Reich's work in 1940-1953 on the extremely submissive woman and the narcissistic object choice in women, where you see a woman playing out the psychic structure of a closet narcissist with a husband who's the grandiose narcissist, where she will re-merge with him psychologically through sex and then becomes an extension of the man. She gets reinflated. She doesn't have a sense of self that's an authentic internal sense of self, just like the grandiose narcissist does not have that because of the early trauma in the first 3 years of life, particularly in the separation individuation year. Their autonomy and their independent development for the mother was disrupted. But the grandiose narcissist out there in the world getting all this attention, and the closet narcissist seeks to merge with it doesn't have to be this gender of male grandiose and female closet narcissist, but sometimes it happens that way, and it's been written about in these cases by Annie Reich with the female in the role of the closet narcissist, and she merges in with her husband. Psychologically can do that through sex. There are other ways for that merger to take place, but the cases that she talks about in extremely submissive women and the narcissistic object choice in women show a wife who gets reinflated and through her merger with her husband that can take place through the sexual act where she psychologically merges with her husband. And then she has her own sense of a false image self, but as a reflection of the man, she feels enlivened and she feels inflated. And this is a manic compensation, a manic kind of defense, manic narcissistic defense against the internal persecution and the internal emptiness and the internal abandonment depression of someone who doesn't develop an authentic sense of self with adequate integration in the first 3 years of life. So she will get this false sense of narcissistic inflation as a substitute for an authentic self through the merger with the husband, in this case, if he's the grandiose narcissist. So those papers by Annie Reich said all this clinically, but she didn't yet use the term closet narcissist, which was used by James Masterson in his writings in 1981 on narcissistic and borderline disorders, and later in his other work on the personality disorders. Earlier on, he had written more about the borderline personality. But then when he goes into narcissism, he speaks not only about the grandiose narcissist, but also about the closet narcissist as, and shows the psychic structure of that, along with writing that schizoid personality. He was dealing with the different personality disorders that have this maternal bonding disruption, a disruption in attachment during the first 3 years of life. So we take the term closet narcissist from James Masterton. And in my paper for the IPA, International Psychohistorical Association, separate from the other IPA and psychoanalysis, and being on the plenary panel, I gave a 40-minute paper with discussion related to the subject closet narcissism, and I used the Woody Allen movie Blue Jasmine to illustrate this. The reason why I had it as in the psychohistorical context was because I also go into how people at Trump's rallies can be closet narcissists who merge in with his false grandiose self, and that activates their vitalizing him and him vitalizing them by them mirroring him and him mirroring them back. But before I get to discuss that political context, I talk about Blue Jasmine, which is a very, very interesting portrayal of the grandiose narcissist and the closet narcissist. And Alec Baldwin played the role of the grandiose narcissist, who was also psychopathic, and who was cheated in life in every which way. He was he was cheating behind his wife's back on her in romantic relationships, but he also was cheating in his business, which was a very affluent business in real estate and other dealings. So Alec Guinness plays the role of this grandiose narcissist, and Cate Blanchett is marvelous in playing the role of the closet narcissist wife. And she showed all the rage of the narcissist, but she, when the system broke down, and when her husband revealed that he wanted to leave her, and saying all his past flirtations didn't count, but now he was going to leave her to be with someone else, she retaliated by calling the FBI and having him indicted and for his business, fraudulent businesses. And he was promptly put in prison, and he suicided there. But the wife then is left all on her own, and this is a woman who, being a closet narcissist, could only have any sense of self, and she didn't have a life without him, without this husband who was the grandiose narcissist. Everything was molded around him, and she had been totally financially dependent on him. She never developed herself. She quit college in order to marry this grandiose narcissist husband played by Alec Baldwin. So in the paper, I go into more detail about how then she goes to live with her sister. They were both adopted. She was treated as the more special one, the more grandiose one in the family, given a more attention. And she was set up then with the psychic structure of a narcissist to be able to merge in with Alec Baldwin as the husband and get her life organized totally around him, and her sense of false grandiose self in reflection with him. And then she was nobody without him. So, and she tries in the movie to, and for all of you who've seen Blue Jasmine, you know that she tries then to hook up with another man because she's failing at getting it together to support herself and to have her own career. And then the guy finds out that she's been lying to him about her past with this husband who was indicted, and he drops her, and then she totally basically gets psychotic and ends up on the park bench talking to herself. So I describe more in detail how Blue Jasmine played by Kate Blanchett, and enacted with the moments of intense rage and the false self. All this is played out so beautifully by Kate Blanchett, and you get the illustration by Woody Allen so vividly of what a closet narcissist personality operates like. And in this case, it was also the female as the closet narcissist and the male, the husband, as the grandiose narcissist. Later in the paper, I link this up with how this can be played into in politics. When you have a grandiose narcissist, you can have the, like these Trump rallies with a closet narcissist merge in with the grandiosity and get enlivened and give this man who has no true self and is pathological liar, how the closet narcissist in the audience can refuel him, and they get enlivened through their mocking behavior along with him and mirroring him. They get enlivened, and these rallies then gain such incredible success. And Michael Moore, in his movie on 11/9, talks about, shows Trump's voice dubbed in with Hitler's rallies and Hitler's voice, and you see the correspondence. And we can think back to the Roman circuses in Roman Colosseum too, about these mobs of people being enlivened as closet narcissists with the grandiose narcissist agenda and leadership. So that's all I want to say today about the closet narcissist, but it could be a man or a woman. Most generally, it tends to be a woman that's the closet narcissist, and the man who she hooks up with in a relationship, often in marriage, is the grandiose narcissist. It could be the other way around, though, with a male as the closet narcissist and the woman as the grandiose narcissist. The main thing is that they have the corresponding psychic structures, where the closet narcissist needs to merge in psychologically with the man. It doesn't have to be through sex, like the women in Annie Reich's papers did in extreme narcissistic, extreme submissiveness in women and narcissistic object choice in women. It doesn't have to be like that. It could be this audience merging in with whoever the grandiose personality is that's conducting is in the spotlight and conducting the audience in this mirroring operation with him. He reinflates them and enlightens them, and they mirror him. So this can be played out in audience with the person speaking to the audience, or it could be played out through sex in a marriage. But the main thing is that there's a psychological merger of the closet narcissist and the grandiose narcissist. And it could be played out with any male narcissist. You know, there are plenty of politicians who are grandiose narcissists, and they could play this out with a mirroring audience anywhere. But that's why it's of concern to us today as a psycho-historical event, because of social political things. But this is a psychological dynamic that can go on in personal relationships. And the unfortunate thing for children of a closet narcissist mother is that when a grandiose narcissist father is neglectful or abusive or attacking of the children, the mother, who's a closet narcissist and wants to get her sense of self from the husband, will go along and collude with the father rather than protect the children. So it becomes very critical for what goes on from generation to generation when we have this closet narcissist dynamic and this very real psychic structure of the closet narcissist that James F. Masterson has described in his books, and I recommend reading those. And my paper will be published in 3 or 4 of my selected paper volumes that will be coming out. They're on contract with International Psychoanalytic Books. So there will be, I believe, in the third volume, this paper that I gave for the International Psychohistorical Association. And you can learn there about Woody Allen's movie, Blue Jasmine. I will also be giving a presentation for the Analytic Psychology Club, a Jungian club, and I'll be giving it at the Jungian Foundation building on October 12th, a four-hour workshop, where I will actually be showing the Blue Jasmine film. So that's October 12th, 2019. I will be giving a four-hour presentation. I will present the idea of the closet narcissist, and there I will relate it not to politics, but to Woody Allen's movie Blue Jasmine, and then to Jungian thinking, Marion Woodman's thinking on the daughter who never separates and leaves the father's home psychologically and never becomes her own person, always has to be in this dependence on a man in order to feel, you know, be viable in the world. Marion Woodman has written about this in various contexts as a Jungian, and she wrote about it also in Addiction to Perfection, about the unravished bride, the woman who is psychologically in psychic incest within her mind with her father, and therefore never is a full woman with a man, and she becomes psychologically dependent often on a man if they have this more grandiose narcissist personality. So from a Jungian perspective, you can see too Marion Woodman's writing about Addiction to Perfection and the daughter who never, she had a book earlier on father leaving the father's home. And so I will integrate the Jungian ideas, which also overlap with my idea on an object relations view of the demon lover complex, and the Jungian idea of an archetype of the demon lover. That also fits in with this idea of the closet narcissist merging in with the grandiose narcissist, who's like a muse for them to inflate them, and then can turn demonic in controlling them or abandoning them, as in the brilliant movie of Woody Allen on Blue Jasmine. So thank you for joining me today. I've enjoyed speaking to you about this very important topic on closet narcissism. Thank you.